The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Dirt Track Channel's coverage of the Brawl in the Fall here at the Hagerstown Speedway. After twice being postponed by Mother Nature, the race will finally take place, and Lou Long and I will have all the action for you for the super late models, the big block modifieds, 410 sprint cars, and the 358 sprints. Today's broadcast of the Brawl in the Fall at the Hagerstown Speedway is brought to you by Coastal181.com, reading for racers, and by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, by Rod End Supply, they don't just sell them, they race them, and by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. And we begin today's broadcast with the super late models. Today's late model lineup is brought to you by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. And here's how they'll line up for the 50-lap late model feature. Gary Stuhler and Kenny Moreland will make up row number 1. Kyle Hardy and Scott LeBaron, row number 2. Greg Satterley and Vic Coffey, row number 3. Greg Robertson and Jason Covert, row number 4. Rusty Seitz and Jerry Bard, row number 5. Frankie Plessinger and David Williams, row number 6. Marvin Winters and Larry White, row number 7. Jamie Lathrum and Jim Yoder, row number 8. Colby Fry and Mike Lufer, row number 9. Lindsey Barton and Tim Wilson, row number 10. Dan Stone and Alan Sagi, row number 11, and Glenn Elliott and Dylan Yoder, row number 12. Today's lineup has been brought to you by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. Back here at the Hagerstown Speedway, an absolutely Chamber of Commerce afternoon, blue skies, and the clouds are cotton balls just painted on the sky, and a few leaves here and there is the turning of the leaves here a little south of the Mason-Dixon line. Doesn't happen for another week or two yet. We've seen some leaves already turning in central Pennsylvania, but boy, what a gorgeous afternoon as we're set to go 50 laps with the Super Late Models, one of the headline classes here at the Hagerstown Speedway. Of course, they also were running the Sportsman Late Models this year. Starter Brad Fries is on the stand. Our outside pole sitter, Kenny Moreland, second-generation driver from Waldorf, Maryland. Looks like he has some issues. They've been under the car for about the last 15 to 20 minutes, and unfortunately does not look like they will be able to make the call, as Gary Stuhler now will have Kyle Hardy lining up to his outside. And Lou Stuhler, as you were saying, in a blue and white number 23, much different than what we have seen him over the years, as he has collected 130 wins here, the all-time winningest driver at Hagerstown.
Yeah, I always associate Gary with those 44s and 55s, and of course all the great years with Dale Beitler in the 19 car. So it's just strange to come and see him in something else. But well, at least the colors are right.
It's up to Stuhler. They kick the wheel. They come off of turn number 4, and the late model portion of the Brawl in the Fall is underway.
It looks like we've got one. No.
Oh, yes, one car going around, and that is Greg Robinson, middle of the pack. Everybody scatters, and we don't even get a quarter of a lap in when we are under caution. Thankfully, with the invention of racemovers, everybody able to scoot left and right, as he did a lazy spin and now facing the wrong direction on the low side of turn number 2.
I think that incident started several rows in front of him. We had Scott LeBaron getting a little crosswise going through the corner. He got it straightened out, but that got everybody jammed up behind him.
So word from the scoring tower, a complete restart for this event, and a tough break for Kenny Moreland. Not sure what happened. I wonder, rear end?
That seems to be the area that they're working on.
And he's climbing into his car right now. I don't know if he's going to make it out in time, but Starter Brad Freeze with the green flag furled in his hand.
They're also getting ready to mount some tires, so
yeah,
he might be hoping for another quick yellow here.
What a tough break going for $10,000 payday this afternoon as Robinson now slows on the backstretch. I gather he's just going to tag back to the rear of the field, and we will try this one more time. Gary Stewart and Kyle Hardy on the front row. It's up to the veteran to kick the wheel. They come out turn number four, and we're going four wide down the front stretch. The green flag is out. Stuhler will show the way. Hardy right there in second. Vic Coffey on the outside. Here comes Jason Covert trying to poke his nose alongside of Greg Sutterly. Three wide down the backstretch. And then in that number three corner, and as they do that, Gary Stuhler begins to pull away by about five car lengths here on lap one of our 50-lap feature event.
Well, this is a classic Gary Stuhler kind of day. We've got a nice sunny conditions. The track's taking some rubber. And Gary always seems to shine in those situations.
Field now starting to sort itself out as we come off of turn number four to complete lap number two. Battle for second at the moment. Hardy now trying to hold off Vic Coffey. Coffey working to the low side as we can see the reflection of some of the cars on the racing surface as it is taking rubber as right now. Gary Stuhler still hugging that low side, well, maybe about a half lane up as they work their way off of turn number four. Vic Coffey falling back a few car lengths behind Hardy. He is in third as Hardy starting to reel in Gary Stuhler. And Greg Satterley in fourth, Jason Covert in fifth.
They did have Kenny Moreland's car over to the staging area, and the track officials would not allow him out onto the track under green flag conditions.
Interesting to see Vic Coffey running that very low line off of turn number four and then sliding up the racetrack, trying to conserve the tires as Satterley, two-time World Outlaw winner this year, making his way to the high side off of turn number two. And boy, it is rush hour behind them as everybody is sorting it out. We got four different three-wide battles going on in the back of the pack as we work lap number four.
Yeah, things are definitely intense back there, and it's going to be interesting to see how that gets sorted out.
Kyle Hardy now slowly reeling in Gary Stuhler here on lap number five. Stuhler seems like his car is a little tight going into turn number three as Hardy comes up along the side of him. Can't make the pass happen. Falls right into his tire tracks, and they'll hustle off into turn number one and two. Hardy looking to the low side. Stuhler opened the door momentarily, then closes it back as he has the lead going down the backstretch. Coffey running in third. Satterley in fourth, Covert in fifth, Jerry Barden sixth. And then it's Rusty Seitz in seventh. Here on lap number seven of 50.
And you know, for some of these fellows, they're coming off of a long race the night before, very little time to rest and prepare. And it looks like we've got a battle for the lead here coming off of four, Sean.
Kyle Hardy trying to pass the veteran Gary Stuhler off of turn number four. Couldn't make it happen that time. And now we have a battle for third as Greg Satterley, Rochester Mill, Pennsylvania driver, goes to the outside of Vic Coffey, and he is going to clear Coffey down the backstretch, put Coffey back to fourth, Satterley up to third, and again Hardy trying to work his way on the low side, but Stuhler on the high side off of turn number four carries that momentum and keeps the lead for the moment.
Satterley's one of those fellows who raced last night at Roaring Knob, led until lap number 40 when Rick Eckert passed him on a restart to take the big $5,000 Three States Flyer win.
Change for the lead, yes. Kyle Hardy now, your new race leader here on lap number 10, gets it on the middle of turns one and two. Stuhler running in second, Satterley in third. Now Vic Coffey comes back and gets around Jason Covert. That's for fourth and fifth.
And as they were doing that, Alan Sagi has turned into the pits.
Jerry Bard and Rusty Seitz have a good battle going.
Looks like Larry White is going to be coming pit side also.
So a tough break for Larry White, the youngster out of Phoenix, New York. 11 laps into the books here this afternoon at the Hagerstown Speedway in the brawl in the fall, postponed twice, once because of Superstorm Sandy, and then earlier this year, rain getting the better of it. So finally, a beautiful day for racing. And one car, our race leader, Kyle Hardy, up in smoke, slowing to the high side of turn number four, and the caution comes out on lap number 12.
That must be heartbreaking. The young man was leading and starting to open up some distance, and poof.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was giving the veteran Gary Stuhr a pretty good run for his money and finally was able to reel him in after Stuhr got about an eight-car length lead over the first five laps, and then he took the lead there in lap number 10. The car now being pushed by a four-wheeler back into the pits, and you're right, you know, neither one of us have ever raced, but we've sat here, we've watched races, and you can't begin to imagine what it feels like to be in the lead, know you have a car that's capable of winning a potential $10,000 payday on the line, and it goes up in smoke just like that here on lap number 12.
The interesting development here is going to be to see whether Greg Satterley can do anything with Gary Stuhler on this restart. You know, this has been a real breakout year for Greg. He's starting to make a name for himself on the national level. Went on the road with the Outlaws for a period of time, picked up some impressive wins out on the road with them. Still ran very strongly here in the East and was the Speed Week champion. So it's been a great year for the young man.
Let's give a quick top 10 rundown as the green flag is furled in the hands of starter Brad Freeze. Gary Stuhr is your race leader. Greg Satterley is in second. Vic Coffey in third. Jason Covert fourth. Jerry Bard fifth. Then is Rusty Seitz in sixth, followed by
the 72 car, David Williams. Then Marvin Winters, Dan Stone.
And then it's Scott LeBaron and Dylan Yoder. Yoder coming from back of the pack. He was the other alternate along with Glenn Elliott that got in, as we did not have Steve Albert or Tim McCready with us as the green flag is out.
Dylan coming off of that big delayed Labor Day weekend win at Bedford in the 55. Very impressive performance for the young man.
And as it was on the initial or the second start of the race, Stuhr jumps out to a quick lead, but
Satterley and Coffey. Coffey's looking to the inside, entering turn number one.
Oh, Vic, he's going to slide up. He held on. How did he have that car pitch that sideways and not loop it in front of the field?
Well, he got in there kind of hot. And
a little.
And now he's paying the price because Jason Covert snuck underneath him, and now Covert's got the third spot.
Coffey back to fourth, Bard fifth. And as we're saying that, I'll tell you, Satterley is starting to reel in Stuhr here on lap 14. And Dan Stone, who set the track record back here in June during the Appalachian Late Model Speed Week event, he's starting to come. He's finding a groove on the outside. He's about to crack into the top 10. And maybe he's looking, he's going to crack into the top five here momentarily. Meanwhile, battle for the lead between Stuhr and Greg Satterley.
Well, you know, this is almost like the generational torch is being passed, because Greg Satterley now has the lead. He's got Robbie Allen in his corner, and Robbie spent so many years working with Gary Stuhler and some of the other, and Rick Eckert and some of the other Eastern heavyweights, and that no doubt has made a big contribution to Greg's.
We're going to go almost four wide down the backstretch.
Hang on, boys.
Oh, man, goodness. That would have been a very interesting sandwich to see if they could have made it four wide at the crossover. Dylan Yoder, Greg Robinson, Marvin Winters, and David Williams almost went four wide down the backstretch. It was a sight to see.
I think we're going to get three wide here in a minute.
But I'll tell you, if you have not been to Hagerstown to see, and Dan Stone slowing to the inside of turn number three, will this bring out a caution? We're not sure. They're looking it over. He might pull into the pits. Tough break. He was running in the top 10, knocking on the door of the top five, and Dan Stone in the pits.
Dan was another one of those fellows that ran at Roaring Knob last night, and it just may be some wear and tear on the machine.
Meanwhile, coming up on lap number 20, Greg Satterley has opened up a straightaway lead over Jason Covert, who has gotten around Gary Stuhr for second. And then in third at the moment, it is Rusty Seitz, Vic Coffey, fourth, Jerry Bard, fifth, Dylan Yoder, sixth, Greg Robinson in seventh, David Williams in eighth, Marvin Winters in ninth, and the 2010 track champion, Frankie Plessinger, now into the top 10. So we're at 20 laps, coming up on a few more laps before we hit the halfway mark. 50 laps, the distance, $10,000 to the winner here this afternoon. And the late models really widening the track out, laying down a lot of rubber as we have four different divisions all coming your way here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Four separate broadcasts so each of the fans can hear their favorite drivers. And it's going to be interesting later on when the 410s come out, because this track is starting to become one that Mr. Donnie Kreitz might be liking very quickly.
Yeah, and he showed his prowess in the hot lap session.
On the track right now, battle for third spot.
Seitz and Stuhler side by side going through three and four. Seitz has the low line, which seems to be working real well for him, and he pulls off the pass.
Looks like he's got made some contact there. The right rear quarter panel is dented in just ever so slightly. And on lap 23, our race leader, Greg Satterlee, has already gotten into lapped traffic. And Jason Covert, a good straightaway behind him at the moment, as we'll be coming up on halfway next time by, with the exception of one caution back on lap number 12 when race leader Kyle Hardy apparently had a mechanical issue. We have been caution free for the last 13 laps. Halfway, as flagman Brad Freeze leans over and gives him the cross flags. And Greg Satterlee coming up on female racer Lindsay Barton. She went to Lynn St. James' program back in 2007. As he puts her a lap down, he's going around Jim Yoder, and one of the tough competitors at the Sea Grove Speedway, and he's now racing on the back bumper of Tim Wilson out of McClure, and Wilson and Yoder having a little bit of a connection there, as Tim got out of his car a few weeks ago at Sewins Grove Speedway. Jim's car was on fire. Tim gets out of his car to go help get Jim out of there. So Tim, a regular at Port Royal, where he finished fourth in the points this year, and Jim, a regular with his son at Sewins Grove, but they were regulars here a couple years ago and did quite well for themselves, finishing in the top five in the overall points. 29 laps are down. Greg Satterlee has... his lead shrinking just a little bit, Lou, in lap traffic right now is Jason Covert slowly reeling him in.
But now, Jason, that pair of lap cars that gave Greg some trouble is now his cushion over Jason Covert. Now, Jason's going to have to figure out how to get by those two cars. And now, meanwhile, Greg has some single-file lap cars to deal with. And the way he's motoring around on the outside, that shouldn't be too much of a problem for him. So it does look like that lead is starting to grow again, Sean.
It is, and it was up to a straightaway lead. Now it's, maybe not quite a full straightaway, but Covert able to split the lap cars, and so now he has clear track until he gets up to the other lap car on lap 31. Third is Rusty Seitz. Fourth is Gary Stuhler, and fifth is Vic Coffey. And Vic is under pressure from Jerry Bard for that fifth spot, and he's bringing Greg Robinson with him.
There's an interesting storyline here with Jason Covert. His longtime car owner, Barry Kleindienst, announced at Port Royal over Labor Day weekend that he's bowing out of the sport. And Jason certainly wants to end the year on as high a note as possible for his car owner, who really put him on the map. Jason... came out of nowhere, jumped into that car, had tremendous success winning several Max championships, winning with the Lucas Oil late model series, and just being the new beast of the East for several years. And it's going to be strange coming to a big late model show in the East and not seeing that yellow 43A in the pits.
Yeah, that it will be. And right now, you know you're on a rail when you put Jimmy Lathrum a lap down. Jamie's one of the top runners. They don't call him the Jet for nothing. And he is going to lap down. 35 laps are in the books. It's a little less than a straightaway lead now for Greg Satterley over Jason Covert. He has three lap cars between him and Jason. Rusty Seitz is there. And then it is back to turn two.
Wow.
Seitz is in turn four. Gary Stoer, who's running in fourth, was off of turn number two when Seitz was in turn number four. So Greg Satterley might be coming around to put a number of cars a lap down as he closes in on the back of Colby Fry.
Yeah, if we don't get a yellow here, it's a good possibility that Greg's going to be lapping up into the top 10 for sure.
And right now it looks as though he is now back to a straightaway lead here on lap 37 here at the Hagerstown Speedway's late mile portion of the brawl in the fall. 50 laps is the distance. We're 13 away from the conclusion this afternoon on an absolutely gorgeous, sunny, blue sky, puffy white clouds around day, and couldn't ask for a better weather, and fans out in T-shirts and shorts. It's a little bit on the warmer side than I think they had anticipated.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Indian summer kind of day. We've got Frankie Plessinger pulling pit side.
And Frankie was running in the top 10, the 2010 track champion. His father, Mr. Plessinger, owning the facility, his sister Lisa running it. And Frankie pulls in. A tough year for him running both the Super and the Sportsman late model this year here at Hagerstown. Our leader now trying to get around Colby Fry as he works his way into turn number one, and Jason Covert.
Jamie Latham now coming up short.
And Latham now pulling into the pits. So our leader is just now getting around Colby Fry in turn three as Covert just comes off of turn two. Rusty Seitz trying to work around Jim Yoder for third. And we just now pick up Gary Stuhler sitting there in fourth. Here on lap number 41, Vic Coffey is fifth. Jerry Bart is sixth. Robinson seventh. Then it's David Williams in eighth. Dylan Yoder in ninth. And Marvin Winters rounding out the top ten. And as I say that, right
there's
behind
Greg
him
Satterley.
Is Satterley coming up to lap into the top ten.
Cue up the Jaws music.
I'll tell you, that is an impressive drive on a Sunday afternoon on a warm day at Hagerstown. Of course, this track, very different characteristics between day and night, and we've seen it both over the years that we've been here to broadcast these events, and we greatly appreciate the Plessinger family having us here over all these years. But I don't think we've seen this kind of dominance on a Sunday afternoon race by one driver like this before.
Not in this division.
No.
We've seen it in some of the other classes.
Brett Hearn.
Mm-hmm. Don Kreitz in the sprint cars.
Yep, but not in this deal.
Of course, part of the difference here may be the fact that the late models are running first, and in some of those other years, the late models would be the finale of the program.
44 laps are in the books at the moment as Satterley continues to drive away.
I think Jason is starting to close in again, but my good friend, I believe, is going to run out of laps on us. Absent a yellow.
He almost brought the yellow that time by on the backstretch. He was really close as we get the to the go sign this time by.
Greg, of course, picking up wins at Potomac and Winchester. And
Sealands Grove this year, too.
Sealands Grove this year, Port Royal.
Well, the two laps to go sign has been given to the field, as Satterley has worked his way around Marvin Winters. He has lapped up to 10th. And Covert, as you said, is coming, but going to run out of time as the white flag is being displayed. It's down to about a half a length of the straightaway. But Rochester Mills' Greg Satterley is going to stamp his name as one of the top late model drivers of the year. Comes off of turn four and gets the checkered flag and a $10,000 payday here at Hagerstown. Running in second is Jason Covert, third Rusty Seitz. Then it's a long distance back to Gary Stuhler in fourth, Vic Coffey in fifth, Jerry Bard sixth, Greg Robinson seventh, David Williams eighth, Dylan Yoder ninth, and unofficially Marvin Winters in the top 10. Now that's unofficial as well. So we will take a break and we'll hear from our winner right after this. The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
Back here at the Hagerstown Speedway, we're joined now by the winner of the 50-lap feature, the second time he has won here at Hagerstown, and it is his seventh win of the 2013 season, Greg Satterley. Greg, congratulations on the win, and pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. It was good to get a win. You know, it's a beautiful day, and the racetrack was in really good shape. And, it was just a good day for us, so we really had a good time there racing.
Greg, speaking of the racetrack, it's not all that often that whether it's the Brawl in the Fall or the Oktoberfest, as it was in the past, where we see the late models running first on Sunday. What were the track conditions like at the start of the race, and how much did they change by the time you took the checker on lap 50?
You know, it started out, there were some spots with a little bit of traction. It was a little bit bitey because, you know, we only had ran some hot laps. And as the race went on, it kind of went from a little bit of spotty traction to pretty slippery, and then it almost it got cleaned off quite a bit, and almost it just started to take a little rubber. So then it got to have a lot more traction towards the end of the race. So it changed over the course of 50 laps quite a bit. I think we had pretty much a full field running on it the whole race. So the groove stayed pretty wide. You were able to we cut lap traffic. I was able to go under some of them. Around some of them, high, low, on the straightaways and in both corners. So it was really good the whole entire race.
I think it was around lap 23 you got tied up with some lap traffic, and that allowed Jason Covert to cut into your lead just a little bit. But correct me if I am wrong, but it seemed like it was sort of a Sunday afternoon drive for you once you were able to get in and out of lap traffic. Was the car that stout on Sunday afternoon for you?
Yeah, it was really good. Lapping cars in that condition isn't always the easiest thing to do because you want to be patient. Sometimes you overdrive the corner trying to, slide by them. You can cost yourself way more time than just waiting to the next corner to try to pass them. So I was trying to be patient, but yet not, mess around and allow, whoever was behind me to catch up. I never really knew how big of a lead I had over Covert. I saw he had got into second place there on the leaderboard, but aside from that, I had really no idea how far ahead I was. So I was trying to pass cars as quick as I could. And for the most part, everyone, they give you lots of room once you get up beside them. But, the car was really good. So I could maneuver around and, make time getting into the corners where, some of the other guys weren't able to. And I think that's where we were a little bit better, was just able to enter the corner a little harder and be able to stay stuck in the middle of the racetrack.
Well, to give you an idea as to how far of a lead you had almost a straightaway at one point, and Rusty Seitz was in third. He was just coming off of four. You were already into the middle of one and two, and Gary Stoller was in fourth, and he was just getting onto the back stretch. So, I mean, there were some pretty big leads, and you even come up on Marvin Winters to put him a lap down at one point there late in the race. So just to give you an idea, that's how big of the lead you had between you and the former race leader Gary Stoller at one point.
Yeah, we had a really good car, and once I got out in the lead there, before I caught lap traffic, I had probably 10 or 15 laps to be able to run pretty hard, in clean, wide-open racetrack. I think that might have been what allowed me to get away. And then also, when I did catch lap traffic, like I said, my car was pretty good. I was able to get by most of them pretty quick, so your car's not really good, that sometimes is pretty challenging to do in that condition. You can catch the lap cars, but you can't pass them. But we were able to actually get by them, and keep picking off one at a time.
Seven wins on the season. How would you describe and how would you critique 2013 for your team?
Everyone's real happy with how this season's going. You know, it started off a little slow. We probably did a lot more. We did more bigger, higher-paying shows this year versus last year. We ran more regional shows. We won more races last year. We had 12 or 13 wins last year, so we're quite a ways behind on wins from last year. But the wins we had this year were all a couple of them are my biggest ones yet of my career. So, including yesterday, that was one of my biggest wins ever. So, definitely had a lot of success in bigger shows than what we've had in the past. That puts the season just further up on the charts from the previous seasons.
There's plenty of racing left to do. What's the plans for the teams to finish out the 2013 season?
Yeah, we got another about 6 weeks yet. We got Natural Bridge next weekend. They got a 10,000 to win, 2-day show. Then we'll be at the Pittsburgh the following weekend. They got two races. Then we're going to Portsmouth for the Dirt Track World Championship, the Lucas Oil Series. Winchester Speedway's got another fall special of some sort at the end of October. I think we're going to take a weekend off then and then hit Charlotte for the World Finals there first part of November. And after that, we probably call it quits after that, I think. There's some racing that you can do down south. Usually that's been our last weekend of racing the last couple of years, so probably closer up at Charlotte this year.
And have you guys given any look to the 2014 calendar? Will it mirror something like 2013, or are there other plans for you for next year?
I would have to think something similar. You know, maybe some more traveling. You know, we hit the road a little more this year. Like I said, we might try to do a little more of that next year. But, the off-season, you got to get everything rebuilt for the upcoming season. So that's our primary focus is, get everything that we have rebuild or replace whatever we're going to do with it, cars and motors, and hopefully get everything in line to be able to head south in February and race there, Georgia, Florida, and race the Speed Weeks races again if we can. So,
well, Greg, it's been a great season for you, and as you mentioned, one of the biggest wins in your career this past on Sunday at Hagerstown. Thanks so much for taking time out to join us here on our post-race show. And all the best for luck for the rest of the 2013 season.
All right, thanks a lot, and thanks for having me on here.
And here is the rest of the rundown order. As mentioned, Greg Settley, your winner. Jason Covert was second. Rusty Seitz, third. Gary Stuhler, fourth. And Vic Coffey, fifth. Jerry Bard, sixth. Greg Robertson, seventh. David Williams, eighth. Dylan Yoder, ninth. And Marvin Winters rounds out the top 10. 11th was Colby Fry. 12th, Mike Lufer. 13th, Jim Yoder. 14th, Glenn Elliott. 15th, Scott LeBaron, 16th, Tim Wilson, 17th, Jamie Latham, 18th, Frankie Plessinger, Lindsey Barton was 19th, and Dan Stone was 20th. Kyle Hardy was 21st, Larry White 22nd, and Alan Saggy was 23rd. Kenny Moreland, unfortunately, not able to start the event. Today's late model portion of the Brawl in the Fall broadcast has been brought to you by Coastal181.com. Reading for racers, by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, by Rod End Supply, they don't just sell them, they race them, and by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. For Lou Long, I'm Sean Wood. Thanks so much for joining us here on our late model broadcast. Be sure to join us for our other broadcast from the Brawl in the Fall and to find out the latest happenings at Hagerstown. Be sure to log on to their website at HagerstownSpeedway.com or call the office at 301-582-0640.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.